How's everybody else doing?
Not bad. Pretty good.
Yeah, well,
Crappy.
that's the thing.
Yeah. This the weather sucks, man. All this dang rain sucks.
Yeah, I feel like we're in Seattle.
I know, seriously. I'm trying to build some garden beds, but I can't do anything with all this rain out there.
Why do you say Seattle? Why?
Seattle's known for rain. And they're like, I believe they're the most depressed state, Seattle, Washington, or the depressed city.
They're also known
Really?
for Russell Wilson. Thanks, Fredo. Thanks. Yes.
So there you go. He's crying because he wants to be a bear. That's what's really happening.
No, yeah. We're crying because we have Andy Dalton. That's why.
Yeah. But that's okay.
No, it's not.
We got to deal
But
with
okay.
freaking Russell Wilson. So we're not talking QBs this week though, but we are talking
No.
defenses, and Seattle's up there with like projected. But yeah, I mean, so we're doing defenses. We're talking defenses for last year. Who were good, who were bad, who seemed to be good, like, and hid behind like a great offense, and then projections for next season, for 2021, what we think might happen with that. So since we're talking Seattle, sportsnot.com, is the one I looked up. They had Seattle as number 20, ranked number 20 for next season. Because
Wow.
they had a pretty busy off season.
Yeah, they did.
They act up Witherspoon. Who else? Who else? Wright, I think, had a pretty decent season last year. So, Jamal Adams. This is some defense needs to be addressed, but the overpay for Jamal Adams makes filing for those voids more difficult.
Yeah,
That was
all
one thing.
those first round draft picks from Jamal Adams. I mean, Jamal Adams is a great safety, don't get me wrong. And he's definitely a difference maker, but he's hurt. So when he's hurt, he's out. And then you lose these first round draft picks. I mean, you can't replenish. I mean, this is not the Legion of Boom anymore. This is,
No.
It it's not
was
the same.
no, I think like from 2019 to 2020. It was a huge difference. Seattle's known for their 12th man, which we see the crowd gets nuts whenever they play. 2020, there was no crowd, So did that make a big difference? Possibly. I'm not sure. It's more psychological. We mentioned this before, but I think that crowd has some part of it of their defense. I really do think their defense is going to be okay. I'm not too sure on what exactly happened up there as far as free agents. I'm looking that up now, actually. But yeah, dude, I think they're gonna be good still. I really do. I think they didn't slip much. And they're gonna be one of the top, probably one of the top defenses this coming year. And they're not gonna be available on the free agent market during fantasy season. So that's my take on that. I think they're gonna be fine.
I think that was very interesting what you said about the 12th man out there in Seattle. I mean, that really did affect a lot of different teams. I mean, their crowd is so crazy. I mean, if you play football, when the crowd is really roaring and it gives you that extra energy, that adrenaline, that feel like I have to go make a play. I have to go do this. I'm about to hit this guy. I'm not thinking about anything else. They're egging you on, and you're like, okay, I got to do this. And not having that, it's just like practice. You have some guys that are in practice and just doing whatever, going through the motions, and in the game they're animals. And a lot of that is the crowd, having 80,000 people chanting your name, screaming for you. I mean, I think that really does affect how defense plays. And I think that's going to it's going to actually have we're going to see from 2019, 2020, 2021, how the numbers got skewed. I think we're going to see that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, another thing too is like you're talking about like on the defensive side, but it also affects like the offense. You know, it's like if a team's not used to going like, you know, like with can't hear your quarterback, you can't hear the snap, so everything is like, you know, you'll see that a lot too. Is if you never notice, I know obviously you guys notice, but like if you're just watching it, you'll see like the lineman kind of smack the center on the side is because he's letting the center know. He's like, all right, the QB's ready. So it's like he has to watch the QB to let the center know to throw the ball or to snap the ball to the QB. So it's like it adds way more delay, mm-hmm. you know, on something that you're timed. So if you're getting down to like, you know, snapping the ball with 3 seconds, 2 seconds, you're going to get a good amount of delay of game calls too.
Yeah.
You know? So where this year you can hear freaking who's that? The guy from Cleveland, the quarterback from Cleveland.
Oh, Mayfield.
Yeah, you hear him talking shit. Yeah. like you can hear it on there. Like the defense did some like switching thing there, and you hear him say, "Oh, that's cute, guys." I was like, you know, so I'm like, that's like funny. It's like you can hear a quarterback talking shit to your defensive line, mm-hmm. you know, where, you know, previous years he couldn't even hear himself, you know, and now the camera's picking it up.
Right.
So like you said, it does really play a difference on both sides. It hypes them up, but it also throws them off.
Yeah.
So it's really one of those like things that's like, you can't measure, you know, but now that it was gone for this whole year and you see the difference, you're like, oh, wow. Yeah, it does play a big difference for everybody, you know, but particularly them with the shape of their stadium, I think it was, played a really big key on how the sound went too. But just overall, that whole NFL is like, oh, this is how it is without playing in front of all these people.
So, yeah, I wonder how many fines the network got.
Oh, because man. You
can hear the players like, yeah, motherfucker, whatever.
So many curse words.
So I'm wondering, like, imagine if you're the sound producer and one of these things and you're like, oh shit, turn it off. You know, you gotta hit the off switch real quick.
But was that one of the reasons why they pumped in the sound? They pumped in extra sound because they didn't want just the players to be out there talking, because you know, you hear Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Donald going after you. Will hear all type of crap.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I would have loved to hear Warren Sapp and Brett Favre.
Oh God!
Especially Warren Sapp. Brett Favre, he ain't gonna. He's no pushover. He's gonna say what he wants to say. But just imagine those two with no sound, mic'd up. I'm like, Jesus Christ!
But even the people that weren't mic'd up, you can still hear. Mm-hmm. But the biggest one's got to be. Who's the genius idea was to put a football game on Nickelodeon? You know, there was an F-bomb, clear as day, an F-bomb. You know, and you heard it, and they and the two crappy announcers. One was like Liza Koshy, who's like a YouTuber, and one was like I think a football player as well. And they're trying to like hide it. And I was like, no, you heard that F-bomb. And I think it was the Bear, one of the Bears defensive guys. He's like, oh, fuck that. Like that. Clear as day on Nickelodeon.
That is funny. Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
It was a bright idea that gave Trubisky, a losing team, the Nickelodeon MVP or whatever. Or do they give MVPs for a losing team? I mean, I guess it's okay now, this day and age. But
it wasn't the MVP. Wasn't it something else? Wasn't it like the MVP, the Nickelodeon value player or something stupid like that?
Why? Because he's on a losing team?
Yeah, like, good for you. We're gonna gack you. That's what we're going to do. We're gonna throw slime at you.
Slime you.
Anywho.
Which was kind of cool. Every time they score a touchdown, they're like the screen got slimed, which was so pretty. It was so stupid. It was so stupid. It was awesome, though.
It's like Mayfield said, oh, that's cute, guys. You know, but that's the only appropriate time to say that. Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
But actually, going back to defenses, I think who's number 19? Because I really do think Seattle.
Well, on this list.
I think it's Seattle at 20. That's very low. Because you're telling me there's 12 other teams out there have stronger defenses than Seattle right now. I'm looking, they signed a lot of players on defensive side.
I'm looking, well, the Seattle was 12 last year, and they say next year they're going to be 20.
Yeah, this is for next year.
Like 2021. This is also
pre-draft, so things might change after the draft, depending on what, happens.
Yeah, but
this is up until then. But on the one I'm looking at, they have Kansas City as 19.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
19?
Yeah.
I thought Seattle was a lot better. But.
Yeah, one thing is, like, most of the spending this offseason went to protecting Patrick Mahomes, you know? So they didn't really do much on the defense. They brought in Reed, which is a good move. You know, he's a good player. They're still really weak at the linebacker, you know, so... I think with the draft, they're going to probably focus on more defensive players, hopefully.
Yeah.
The offensive, they're good with offense. I mean.
Well, they need tackles. Because they can't have I'm sure the two guys are coming back and they're going to be 100%, and that's all great, fine, and dandy, but they need somebody.
No.
Okay, because they only signed guards. And I'm guessing Kyle Long or Joe Sunni.
That's right, Kyle Long.
Mike Rimmers and Austin Blythe. Blythe actually is a center. So I'm guessing one of those. I think Kyle Long played tackle in college. Maybe even a little bit for the Bears.
Yeah, he did. He played right tackle.
So
for a while.
Yeah, so they let's see. Mahomes is what? Right-handed? So they ain't gonna help Mahomes. So they need a left tackle. So yeah, I think that's what that is on there. But as far as defense, the only I want to root for this guy. I don't know who the hell this guy is. This is a defensive end. His name is Taco. Taco Charlton.
His name is Taco?
Taco Charlton. I'm like, I want to be friends with him just because his name is Taco.
That's like the league. Have you ever seen the league?
No.
When, the brother is his name.
Oh, that's right. That's right. See, I thought that was his nickname.
No, that was like that is his nickname. That was his nickname.
Yeah. So I don't
care what his real name was.
Like if Charles Tillman is going to say Charles Tillman, they're not going to say Peanut Tillman.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But yeah. That show was all Taco and Marshawn Lynch. Those guys were funny together.
Number 18.
See, number 18 on this list, we have Buffalo Bills.
Okay.
So they got here. Buffalo boosted an elite defense in 2019, and then it all came crashing down in the past offseason. Re-signing some players. Secondary is still a weak spot. You know, especially if White doesn't return. So, you know, Jerry Hughes is you know, hard to see anybody besides Jerry Hughes being reliable pass rush. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, they got some big gaps to fill too. But it's another, it's another like team that was really well on the offense that I think the offense obviously carried them, and then their defense kind of went out there and tried to do stuff, but. That was a definitely offensively strong team.
So they when it came they to, had I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, go. Yeah, I'm done.
No, because they had picked up so far Eve Obada, Terrell Adams, Matt Milano, and you know, those are the defense and linebackers. And then they got a Levy Wallace, which is a cornerback. So they picked up, you mentioned linebackers. And it says here they actually picked up two linebackers during the free agent. One of them is a 4-year deal, so I'm guessing that guy is pretty decent. I never heard of him. That's more of a Brian or Martin question. Milano, that's the dude. So whenever I see whenever I see big contracts like that, long term with all this money, I'm thinking, okay, he's pretty decent, you know. Four years for 41 and a half. So every year is probably like 10 mil.
Yeah, I mean, it's a decent signing. But really, I think Buffalo's really going to have to focus on the draft. I mean, they're weak. The middle linebacker, honestly, they're weak. They need a middle linebacker. They don't need another corner. Their safeties are decent. I mean, especially with the signs. They have no pass rush. It seems like they focused on offense so much. Last offseason, that this kind of let the defenses be. And it's always harder for, you know, a team that when a team is scoring a lot of points for them to keep their numbers down because it's more possessions. It's harder for them to continue to keep their, you know, they, like the Bears, you know, like Kansas City. You know, if you're scoring a lot, this defense is not going to hold the other team under 30 points because they have five more possessions.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so that does make it harder. But then when you don't invest in the defense, you're going to have that problem too. And they have some decent picks right now. I mean, they some options to do for next year. Drafting, I think that's where they're going to really have to focus.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really interesting this year because there's teams that there's obviously teams that need everything, but most of the teams I think need more defense or more offense. Like I think the Bears, that they obviously need a little bit of everything. Then there's other teams like that as well. But I think all the major playoff teams kind of like, oh, we need more offense or we need more defense. They're kind of like split between the two, which is really like interesting, you know, where I guess I don't know if that's just like a thing I noticed more this year, you know, because we're doing more football stuff, but yeah, I mean, obviously the crappy teams need everything, but the playoff teams either like, oh, we need this side stronger or that side stronger, you know, so kind of interesting. It's usually the defense too, because which is funny because there's always that whole saying, you know, defenses win championships, but I was like, is that still the case? Because, I mean, you can go out there with an okay defense and still win, you know, like what you're saying, you know.
Well, I think we saw last year, I think it was the top four teams that left in the playoffs, all the people, you know, for the championships, for NFC and AFC, all had star quarterbacks, all had holding off. I think it was the top eight teams all had these great quarterbacks. No one had a terrible quarterback. No one had a bad offense. You know, it's that point right now. I feel like a defense is hard to even play right now because you can't touch anybody. You can't hit the quarterback.
Yeah.
You can't touch the receiver past 5 yards. I mean, it's so hard to do anything. The tight ends are now 6'7", 260 pounds, running 4.440s. What can you really do against these guys? I mean, it's so hard to be a great defense. And then if you are a great defense, usually you have to be dirty. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's honestly, you have to put fear of God in them.
You got to do a Nancy Kerrigan.
You know, and that because of that, that makes it so hard to be a strong defense, especially doing it year after year after year.
Right.
Yeah. So we're talking about the Bills. The Bills really need a corner. Mm-hmm. They have to get it. They have to have a shutdown corner because, I mean, the guys that we have right now are just are backups.
Yeah.
You know, so they can get, I can see them going first, second round, corner.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, like you said, but like you're going against star, if you want to go deep in it, you need to have at least one shutdown corner, you know, because otherwise you're going to have this, you know, future Hall of Fame quarterback throwing to, you know, whoever's their best at that time, you know what I mean? So, right. I mean, that's kind of, if you don't, I don't know, it's kind of weird. But going down the list, we got number 17 is Cleveland.
Really?
Cleveland Browns, yeah. They picked up John Johnson. They also got Troy Hill. You know, Miles Garrett. Cleveland is missing right now as a complimentary edge wrestler to play opposite of Miles Garrett. Yeah. Here they're saying if the Bills land somebody like Jason Owe and Kwadi Paye, I think his name is, that he says they're projecting if they pick up somebody like that, that they'll go up in ranking like easily, you know, picking up somebody like that. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, can you imagine Cleveland? Because Cleveland, what they did offensively was really, really like great this year. Crap. No, he's coming back anyway. But like defensively, it was like they were just kind of like surviving. You know, like they had okay, but they weren't doing things. So it was like,
I feel that they're a team that have good ingredients, you know, but they don't have like they don't have the pass rusher. I mean, Myles Garrett is great from inside. You need someone on the other side, you know, really to balance it out. If you could go get another edge rusher, Cleveland might be dangerous because that makes everything better. Like your cornerbacks are better because your edge rushers are already on them.
Right.
They're going against. Think about it. They go Lamar Jackson, Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, Joe Burrow. That's in their own division every week. You're going to play those guys twice a year.
Yeah.
You have to have someone to put some pressure on the quarterback because you're not going to hold them down. You know, no one's going to be able to defend them. You don't. That's not going to go. You have to draft Deion Sanders. So I mean, it's not going to be a shutdown corner. They're not going to have Revis Island over there. You need. Right. You need to have an edge rusher that's going to. You'll put pressure, and then your corners actually look, your decent corners look great.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say this just because for Martin's sake, Clowney. All right, that, you know, just throw that up there. But they have been busy on the defensive side. They got McKinley. They signed McKinley, a defensive end, defensive tackle. Malik Jackson, two linebackers, Malcolm Smith, Anthony Walker. And a cornerback, Troy Hill, and Sean Johnson, safety. So they have been kind of beefing that up a bit. Mm-hmm. And I like them at, what was it, 18?
17.
17. So I like them
on this, 17. On this ranking.
I think they're going to be a little bit more stronger than 17. I don't know the list. I haven't seen a list. So this is, I think they might be a little bit higher. Not much, though, but just a bit.
Yeah, if what they do, if they can pick up one or two more like those edge rushers or something like that, that's what this website's saying too. Is like, yeah, you pick up somebody like that, you know, you're gonna be good, be scary good, you know.
Yeah,
how really Cleveland is, how Cleveland has changed their entire. Everything, you know, and before, remember, was it Johnny Manziel? They thought he was going to be like the thing to take him there, and it didn't. So when that happened, I'm like, they're done. You know, their rebuild crashed, and that when your rebuild crashes, you're kind of in limbo for a few seasons. But they kind of like went right with it with why do you keep forgetting his dang name? Mayfield, you know, and he kind of just picked it up and ran with it and. And they gave him some tools, and it worked out.
Yeah. I mean,
having Myles Garrett really just saves the day in so many ways. I mean, I think Myles Garrett is probably a third or fourth best defensive player in all the NFL. He's that good. He's that quality of guy. I mean, besides the fact that, you know, throwing helmets and hitting quarterbacks in the head, he's not doing that. He's doing a great job. I mean, He's strong. He really gets pressure on the quarterback all the time. He's an anchor of a defense. Mm-hmm. But when you do, you have to build around that. You know, you don't want to be like the Bears did with Khalil Mack and then had nobody on the other side all that time. You have to have someone on the other side to balance out. Because, you know, when they continue, Aaron Donald's the only person that can be double teamed all the time and still unblockable. I mean, but Myles Garrett needs some help somewhere else.
Yeah, I agree. So going down the list, we got 16 Arizona Cardinals.
Nice.
Which they just got JJ Watt. So here, obviously, he's him, blah blah blah. But here they said putting him and Chandler Jones together is they said terrifying in the NFC West, you know. So then that's funny that you said scary because he was terrifying. So that's funny. But they're saying their biggest weakness is cornerbacks, you know, which they've been trying to address.
Butler
looked good. So that's their biggest thing is there. They need a lot of help on the outside. Players like Horn and Farley would elevate this defense higher. You know,
right. And so, I think on the dynasty. Dynasty Pylon, I think Martin, he had the mock draft for two rounds. I think in one of the rounds, I believe he chose a corner because I think
for them,
If I'm not mistaken, correct, you know, I think it was also a receiver. Also, I believe this one of the other ones was a receiver. I can't remember.
What did Lauren say? He said that the Cardinals were, or I think one thing, a trade candidate. He said something like that. Like, they could trade up if it's the right player.
Yeah.
But they really need, honestly, it's not on defense. They really need a tight end.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, there's only one good tight end in this draft.
Yeah. Who is a monster. That guy is.
Kyle Pitts is a man.
Man. What, he run the 40? He run the 40 like insanely fast.
It was like something like 4.38 or something. 4.48. It was like
it was insane. Ridiculous. Yeah, for a guy who's like 10 or whatever the freak tall he is. He's
like 6'7",
248,
and just ridiculously fast. And he has, I don't know if you guys watching with Kyle Trask this year. His route running is amazing. He's faster than every linebacker you put on him. He's bigger than any safety. He can outrun safeties. So I mean, that guy on that team would be
It
would be nasty.
He's 6'6", 240. I'm trying to find the his here it is right here.
Like, seeing that, like, this monster of a man running so fast was scary. Scary, man.
444. Unofficial 40-yard dash.
Yeah, so I saw his coach talking. I heard his coach talking yesterday on ESPN Radio, I believe. And I think he was talking about he is so good. It's scary because he doesn't even know how to – he's growing into his body.
Mm-hmm.
He said, by the time he gets to the NFL, he's going to be 250. This guy is filling out still. He is so big. He's like, he's going to be a 260 guy, still being that big and that strong. Mm-hmm. He said he already can set the edge. He's not afraid to block. This is the guy you want. So if I was Arizona, this is the guy that makes your entire team better.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Let's trade him for Kyle Kmet. I mean, for so here's a funny thing. I just saw this also. He posting unofficial 4.44, 40, just days after recording a 4.46. This guy got faster. You know, he ate his Wheaties and he's getting faster every day. So this one of the coach, a Florida Gators coach, said Pitts is a special player. Dude, did that guy's, what was it, 260, 240?
Mm-hmm.
He's 240. Mm-hmm. Well, he's 248 now. I heard he's trying to gain weight right now.
Right.
But this guy, honestly, if you're looking at Mel Kiper's like mock draft, I think he's like the third best player in the draft, or second best player in the draft. Yeah, we're going to go quarterbacks, but as far as his ranking, he's like second or third best player in the entire draft. This kid is special. They're like, he's coming in. He's going to walk in and be one of the top five tight ends in the NFL. Walking in.
Yeah.
That's who you're drafting.
Yeah, especially if he goes to somewhere like Cleveland. Like, it seems insane that, like a player actually wants to go to Cleveland, because we grew up, like, in, like, Cleveland is horrible. Right. But somebody like Mayfield, who can just, like, just dump it to you, like, all the time. It's I can see that being like another, like, kind of like Gronk kind of like situation. You know, it's like, oh, all these guys are covered. Oh, here you go. I'm gonna dump it to you, and you can just truck over your linebacker, you know, into the secondary. You know, so.
But that's why I was thinking, even with Arizona, because.
Arizona. That's right.
Yeah, because.
But no, I'm thinking Arizona. You can keep Kyle Pitts. So.
Yeah, but no, but think about it, because if you have a small quarterback, his best friend is a great tight end.
Yeah.
If you have a great tight end, because now when you pressure him, he has this big, huge target in the middle of the field. I mean, just dump it to him all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why I love playing tight end in high school, man.
Just give me the ball. It's all right. You're in trouble, throw the ball up. It's good.
Yeah. I would tell my QB all that all the time. I was like, don't pass it to the guy whose nickname is Butters. Give it to me. I'll make sure we at least get a first down. I'm not the fastest, but I can get us a first down, you know? It's like, I'm going to catch it.
That is.
But no, throw it deep to Butters. See how that works out.
Oh, that's a pretty throw. All right, second and 10.
But yeah, tight ends, man. They just that position. I'm sure we'll talk about it again later. But yeah, tight ends. That would be awesome because when we do tight ends again, you were with us when we did tight ends, I believe, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, doing tight ends after with us. Yeah, that's right. What was it, why we saw it either way? But after when we break down the NFL again by positions post draft, it's gonna be interesting because now we got a really good picture of everything. Because right now it's a lot of projections and predictions and all that. But yeah, that guy's gonna be a monster. But let's keep going. Number 15. Yeah, 15. We have Green Bay Packers.
And we have skipped them.
I think it's a law. It's a Chicago law.
It's a Chicago law.
It's a Chicago law that Dilly put in back in 1940 something.
What did it do with the Simpsons do? We got the Green Bay Packers and kind of like block our mouth. So they got Joe Barry was hired as their defensive coordinator after doing really bad in his previous two places. Mm-hmm. But yeah, then instead of signing a number two cornerback, the Packers re-signed Kevin King and likely overpaid him. So that's what they said. So Packers can add a cornerback again, like Farley or even like Newsom. Right. And the secondary would be instantly better. Put that together with the pass rush.
Terrible. Another middle linebacker place where you just need help. They have no leadership, and that's what they need. I don't want them to get it, but they need leadership. They have someone that can really be a leader, be a middle linebacker, tell everyone where to go, and make the tackles, because that's the problem. They don't tackle.
They do the shoulder thing.
Yeah, so if you got a guy who's going to do that in the middle of the defense, I think, unfortunately, they'll be pretty good again. I mean, plus, who's the best player on the defense? Aaron Rodgers. Because he scores touchdowns, he holds the ball, and he puts fear in everyone else's heart. So, yes, their best player on defense is Aaron Rodgers still.
What was that one safety that left Chicago to go to Green Bay for less money? What was his name? It was really good. It basically
receiver. Oh my gosh,
safety.
Our safety. Our strong safety.
Yeah.
I know they got picked up. They got Ha-Ha Clinton Dix came from Green Bay,
right? And then our safety went over there. I forgot his name.
But he is really good
from us to them. Yeah,
he'd be the stronger player. I mean, yes, Aaron Rodgers. Of course, that's funny. I like that. And it's actually somewhat true. But other than that, I think that safety is probably one of the strongest players out there. They did sign, like you said, Kevin King for 1 year for $6 million. And Will Redmond, he re-signed with the Packers also. But they also got a nose tackle, Tyler Lancaster. But to fill this spot, There was a linebacker that I can't remember. But anyway, that's a vacancy that they do need to work on. Are they a 4-3 or 3-4? I think they're a 3-4, aren't they?
Yeah, 3-4 hybrid.
So it goes either way, 4-3 or 3-4.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they need two inside linebackers, if anything. If they're going to go
stick with Adrian Amos.
I
think the biggest problem with the Green Bay Packers last year was the Smith brothers, who killed it, tore it up in 2019, did terrible in 2020, which I didn't even understand. I mean, I was happy once again. This is something that brings joy to my heart when they do terrible things, but they just really didn't show up. I didn't understand what was going on. But it's another thing when you don't have the Green Bay crowd out there. Mm-hmm. How does that affect your defensive ends? I think it affects your defensive tackles more than your ends, really, but your line, it does. And the reason I say tackles is because, as Tank was saying earlier, when you touch the guard touches the center, it really gives your tackle an idea of when the ball is about to get snapped.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even when the ball is moving, you know when it's going to happen. So you're getting off the ball, even if they're double teaming you, you're already through halfway through splitting them. Because you know when the ball's being snapped.
Right.
Yeah. I think that really does affect the line.
Yeah.
Why did he even do that? I seen it going to fit like 2 years
ago.
It's
so loud. It's so loud that you can't do a solid call count. You can't do anything else. So you're touching the center, let them know the quarterback's ready. So you're about to hike the ball. But right. Most of the time they're doing it in a shotgun because they know they have the ball out quickly. But that helps out me as a defensive tackle. If I'm a rush, I'm pushing them, I know I'm going balls out.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you don't need that when you go under center because you just kind of give them a little, ball tap pressure underneath and, and then that's how they know. But, yeah, going shotgun, which is – I don't know. Yeah, like you said, you're giving the defense like we're gonna snap it in the next second, So, yeah. So I mean, then you have somebody like Myles Garrett, Dominic Sue, in front of you. Oh man, you're just telling them, hey, don't hurt me, please. I mean, at that point,
how have you paid enough for this shit?
I always know it's hilarious when you do that in front of Aaron Donald. You can't block Aaron with three guys anyway. So really not even tell them when we're gonna snap the ball?
Yeah. Yeah, that's insane, but I mean that's the crowd. But also this season I can see a lot of players not doing as good and defenses because it seems to be a lot more defensive players sat out because of COVID, but no preseason, COVID played effect, so you got a lot of players playing, not playing this year. Right. So that affects a lot of things, because it wasn't just the preseason. It was also the off season leading into the preseason. You can't go train at the facilities. You really can't meet up. So it's kind of like you as a player have to do it on your own. And are you disciplined enough to do it on your own? one thing is waking up and getting your ass to the facility. Then you have people yelling at you the whole time to do stuff where – something like that is you got to wake up, you got to do this, it's all on you. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's Zoom meetings and all that bullshit, but it's a different mindset.
It is.
All right. So going on number 14, New Orleans Saints.
Let the record show, I think we spent too much time talking about the Fudge Packers. I'm just saying it.
Yeah.
I agree.
So the New Orleans Saints, he said.
So they got some big holes to fill. Jenkins, Hendrickson, Alexander, all gone. So the draft is going to be key, big, big, big key for these guys. Here he goes. The team is closer to being the Aints than a Super Bowl contender. So which is true. I mean, this team is. I can see them going downhill and being not a good team for a while.
I gotta agree because they only signed three defensive people, a defensive end, a cornerback, and a safety so far. You're right. I agree with that. That the draft is going to be really critical for these guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we got a comment. Yeah. I guess just, in your opinion, which is the best football player in the world? Messi, Ronaldo, Mbappe. I am not even pronouncing the last
two guys. Say Neymar.
Neymar? Yeah. Is that who they had? Neymar, Robert.
Neymar.
Yeah. I'm not even going to go. I mean, but I know a little bit. Obviously, I watch it.
I like Ronaldo.
Ronaldo. Ronaldo is pretty awesome. Messi. But that's a different football. That's football. Or I don't know. Fredo probably has the accent better.
It's football.
This is NFL.
This is football americano.
Otro cosa. There you go. Which I try to keep, I know this is going off topic real quick. I try to keep, whenever I name things in here, I do American football or, NFL, kind of keep things straight. But
you have to.
Yeah, because I get it.
All we need now is a rugby question.
Oh, please. I'm all down for that, man. You want to? My girlfriend yelled at me because I have YouTube TV and I was clicking through all the sports one. I'm like, oh, check it. New Zealand's playing. So I watched the New Zealand play. She's like, what the? She goes, what the hell are you watching? I'm like, oh, rugby. She goes, what the fuck? I already got to deal with you with football.
She's like, out. Just go.
Well, I'm like, I'm watching it while you're in the kitchen. Let me watch rugby for a little bit. There's not many channels that play rugby. let me watch USA get their ass handed to them by New Zealand. Wait, here, right here. Yeah, you know, MLS league became very, very popular in recent years. Oh, huge, huge. I've been to a Chicago Fire game a bunch of times. Oh, who is there? Campo, El Campo, Del Campo.
Yeah.
Who is their goalie?
Wait, honestly, I think
I don't know that
kids,
well.
So many kids right now will go and play soccer. Soccer is huge among kids. I think honestly, as they grow up, it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Soccer is an awesome game. I mean, it's a game that all you need is a ball. You know, you really figure out everything else.
Yeah,
which is why it's big in other countries.
I don't know if it's ever going to get as big here because of basketball. Really, all you need is a ball. You can make a basket out of anything. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the competition here. But great athletes will be in soccer, and you know, women's soccer is always the best. So we're never going to be in part of the European league or EPL. I mean, they always would be the best. But yeah, I have an opinion on everything.
Yeah. No, I mean, dude, I mean, like, I'm sure you guys are too, but like, I'm a sports fan, you know? Yeah. So I watch like stuff like that. I don't follow it. There's certain sports I won't follow as deep, but definitely like soccer, I follow, especially when FIFA comes around.
Yeah.
Like, who doesn't get whipped into it? Because it's just, it's such a great thing. I mean, it sucks that there's all controversy around it, you know, especially as the last couple ones probably. But it's such a great kind of thing, you know, like the whole world gets into it. It's really awesome, you know. It's like Olympics, but just for one sport,
right?
You know, and then especially America being so good, like maybe not the last two ones, but like I remember in high school, the women are amazing. Yeah.
I mean, right. My body's not built for soccer. Let's be honest, you know. So I can
run 10 yards really, really fast. You want me to run 100 meters?
Right.
Nah, man.
Entire day. Just continue running.
Back and forth.
This is why I was more of a lineman because, you know, I snap the ball. I run 10 yards. After 10 yards, I'm like, I'm not going to 11. You're not paying me enough to go to 11. 10, that's it.
Yeah,
I'm not a receiver. You throw it to the other guys. But coming from me, I'm more of a big American football because I don't want to get confused real quick. I enjoy FIFA. For some reason, what is it about FIFA that, you know, goes around the world and you have all these countries fighting for this one trophy at one spot? It's almost like the Olympics, but it's
just like focused, like one.
It is, and I remember them having it here in the U.S. They were at Soldier Field, you know, and I was like in awe because at the time I lived maybe 5 miles from Soldier Field at the time.
Oh yeah,
and you see all these people, cultures, flags going ape shit. I'm like, what the hell is going on? You know, and it's amazing where you see my stadium. You know, the Soldier Field turning into a soccer field. I'm like, that is freaking awesome. I just enjoy it.
Opinion that Soldier Field should be just a soccer field, and the Bears should be moving to a place where it's a nicer stadium.
Their own stadium.
Their own stadium. They actually own it and not have to share with the Chicago Park District.
Right. So, which is insane. You think like, oh, here's a $1 billion company. Oh, but you have to share it with the high school kids down the block. Right. It's like what?
The Bears are worth $3 billion and we don't own our own state.
It's tax corruption.
It's a Chicago thing when it comes down to all of that.
You know how Infinity War, when you take the stone, there's a different timeline
branch.
We just went into that branch with that.
I know.
Let's put the fucking time stone back and let's keep going forward.
Let's go. But yeah, man, thank you for the questions, man, for the MLS. Yeah,
thank you so much.
A little different football, but we appreciate it nonetheless. All right, let's keep going. Denver Broncos, man. A team that is definitely one-sided. Their defense is really, really good. Von Miller is going to be back 2021. They're great pass rushing duo. Fangio, you know, signing Kyle Darby.
Fuller. Kyle Fuller.
Kyle Fuller that's on there.
That defense.
That's a defense.
Oh, man. They got pro bowlers just on the corners, you know, but like a great freaking, I mean, these guys are, I'm surprised after they should, even pre-draft should be top 10. That they're 13 is kind of insane. After the draft, they're probably going to do more offensive, obviously, but just this defense is definitely insane. And I think the only reason why they're lower on this list is because of their offense, because it's being their defense is being pushed so, so hard.
So many possessions every single time, every game. That's but having a team, what did we say? The two most important positions on defense,
left tackle, defense,
rush, and corners. And when you have Pro Bowler rushers and Pro Bowler corners, you're going to be a good defense.
Yeah. They got Harris. They got Harris and Darby and Fuller. That team is going to be crazy. I'm kind of disappointed they're at 13. Now I'm really interested what's in the 12 on. But them being 13, I think they're just ripping them off. I agree with you, Kramer. It's because there's no QB there. If they had a QB, and I've been saying this for a long time, all they need is a quarterback. And that is a potential deep playoff team. I don't want to say Super Bowl team yet, because I want to see what happens.
They have to have a quarterback, and their running backs are really suspect. Really, their whole offense is suspect, honestly.
Yeah.
but their defense is really, really good.
I think they're missing they're missing just a few key players. I think they can really be a good contender. Right? You know, like Fredo said, maybe not Super Bowl, but within the next 3 years, they need to make really, I won't say not even big, but important moves.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to sign somebody big, but you need to sign somebody that's important to your offense, you know.
Well, I honestly thought that Deshaun Watson going to the Broncos would have been an unbelievable move. And
that would have
been that whole defense, that whole team would have been different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and, you know, that's what I really wanted to see. But, you know, I mean, besides going to the Bears, which is like a pipe dream. But, you know, now with this whole mess, you don't know what's going to happen with him. But,
right.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what his lawsuit allegation. Yeah, I don't know if he's 24, 25 now.
Let's not forget about Bridgewater.
Teddy, I don't know. I think that Carolina's going to hold on to him until the season.
Oh, I'm sure they are. But Carolina lost picks for Darnold. So if Denver's willing to give up some of those picks, a couple now, a couple next year, maybe one or two, or a player, just to replenish that, why wouldn't they say okay?
The problem with Denver is Teddy has small hands. This is plain simple. He has squeeze the season. He's not a big guy. He has small hands, and playing in the cold is a problem.
I don't
know if Denver is the best place for him to go.
Also, playing up there with the oxygen level, like I know that seems like silly. That plays a big old difference. Plays a big, big difference. In it. But yeah, I'm trying to get this. One thing is, like, I didn't realize how much of a difference that really is. Is like when I went to Peru and we went to Machu Picchu and we went really high, and I'm like, whoo, man. And I was in high school, so young and healthy and all that shit. And I'm like, whoo, damn, it's not like you can't breathe, but you feel it. You're like, this feels different.
Yeah.
Especially being from like Chicago, where you're like, you know, sea level, like, you know, exactly.
You're accustomed to pollution, not the natural air shit.
Well, yeah, that's like, what is it? What is this smell?
Give me exhaust fumes, stat. Come on, give it to me.
I went to Denver my sophomore year of college. And that year I was super in shape. I was like 2% body fat. You know, I was super in shape. We ran a 2,300 yard sprints, no problem. Man, you run 100 yards there, you feel like your lungs are burning. Like, it is ridiculous. Yeah. I thought I was going to die. I was like, is it bleeding? Can you get my lungs? Are they bleeding?
Is it bleeding? That's funny. But wow. Denver, I don't know, man. I think Denver should be maybe one or two notches higher.
I think so. After the draft, I think. Yeah. Post draft, I think they're going to shoot up anyway, just because they don't really need to make moves.
Oh, but they kind of do, because
defensively.
Yeah. Oh, well, no. Yeah.
Offensively, they need a lot.
So let's see what happens.
They might keep him.
I hope so. I really like him.
He's a good fit there. I think he really is he's a good fit.
It just takes time.
Yeah. See, number 12, we have the San Francisco 49ers. So they need some stuff. Verrett is going to return. See what else. And he's going to be a number one cornerback for sure. Fred Warner, one of the best linebackers, you know, is Armstead. He's coming back, run defender. Bosa, Nick Bosa, you know, is going to be back.
Bosa just makes everything better.
Yes.
If he's healthy, oh my goodness.
Yeah. Who's he got? They got who left? I'm trying. They're one of the pass rushers, Robert Slee, I think his name is. He's gone. Yeah. So they're still good. They need some other places to kind of fix, but I mean, for the most part, they're pretty good. I think you just tweak it a little bit, add somebody here, especially from the draft. I think their defense is still going to be a pretty good defense. Good defense.
But they're
at 12.
They're at 3. Oh, you mean
on the draft? Yeah, I was talking the draft. Yeah.
Oh, on the draft. Yeah.
Yeah. So they lost a lot of picks moving up to 3. So I don't know how. I mean, really, their draft is number 3 now, and that's pretty much it. Only question I have really for them: what quarterback they're going to get? What would they do? What would they do? Mac Jones, or do they go, Justin Fields, or whatever? But defense, I think they're set. They're pretty good.
Yeah, they are.
They're in the same boat as Denver. You know, defense is set. They're pretty good. We need to work on the offense. And, you know, the same thing. If they pick up somebody good, they're definitely going to be a top 10 defense. If their offense picks up with some of the slack, you know, their defense will be stronger. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's probably why San Francisco is, because their offense is a little easier to make better quicker rather than Denver. They need a little bit more work on their offense to really kick up their offense, where San Francisco is, you kind of throw in
Garoppolo. They got Garoppolo already. Yeah. So, I mean, if they were healthy last year, they might have been in the playoffs. Just healthy.
Yeah. So
they're what number?
12. Projected 12.
Projected 12. I think they might go down a notch or two when the season begins. That's my thing, because I'm looking what they signed. They signed defensive tackle Jones, Kerr as a defensive line, a couple linebackers, 3 cornerbacks, and where the hell is my cursor? Oh, 2 safeties. So they signed a lot of depth there. But I think they're going to probably go down one spot. And the only reason I say that, it's because you have those good guys. You have Bosa and all them. When someone gets hurt, like Bosa, they go down. And now, considering, you know, we got more games, one more game makes a whole difference. Oh, yeah, take it away from preseason, put it down the season, it's the same amount. Yes, granted. However, in the preseason, you don't play your starters throughout the whole thing. And the regular season, you do. I think, is Sherman Williams still there? No, right? Who? Williams? The DB from, used to be Seattle, went to the Niners?
You talking about Sherman?
Yeah. Did I say Sherman? Did I name a pink company?
Oh, he said Williams.
I said Williams. That's right.
Nice. I was like, who?
Richard Sherman is still their left cornerback.
Richard
Sherman is still their left cornerback, yeah.
Okay, he's still there? Yeah. So, I, you know, they might be even stay or even get better. I forgot. Because
They got one of the best D-line and one of the best linebackers. I mean, they're not the best, but they're definitely up there in the top, you know, ones.
They have the top down on every level. And that's what makes them really special.
Yeah. Okay. And don't forget, they even got Sherman. Richard
Sherman.
So you got one of the top shutdown DBs. So they have one of good everything in that level, and every, you know, first, second, and third tier. So, yeah, I mean, maybe they even go up now that I started thinking about it more and talking out loud.
I think their defense is only going to go up, I think. Yeah. You know, yeah. The longer they stay healthy, the more great that defense is going to be ranked.
That's the key. Are they going to be healthy? Because they are so unhealthy this year. I mean, it was so bad this year. How can they stay healthy the entire year? I don't
know. Right. Plus, age does a factor, and Bosa's coming back. I don't know if he's injury prone now after this. So we'll see what happens. What round do you think you'll draft the Niners in fantasy?
Oh,
I think the Niners might go all the way through. Like, they might to the end of the draft.
Really? Yeah. 1-7? 15? What is it? Yeah, it's 15.
I'm thinking like 14, 15, because there's still enough teams in front of them that you want. I mean, we're about to get to the top 10 right now. I think all 10 of these teams are going to be pretty decent.
Yeah. Speaking of this is number 11, and this one really threw me off. They got the Chicago Bears as number 11. I was like, what? You lose Pagano, you lose one of the best corners, Kyle Fuller. What? I'm like, really? I'm like, you can't do anything in the draft defensively. You have to go all offense. Like, you got to go just crazy with offense, because you need everything in offense, and you're giving up this great defensive player.
Okay,
I don't.
Okay, I'm so looking I can, at what I can talk my way into it. I can. I mean, it's not easy, but I can talk. If your guys who didn't perform last year perform, then they can do something.
Right.
Who's the nose tackle that didn't play last year?
Was it Hick? Goldman?
Eddie Goldman. So Eddie Goldman comes back. We have the rush on the other side, on the right side.
If
Robert Quinn actually plays up to his potential, you still have Khalil Mack. You still have Hicks, because you guess you're not able to trade him.
Smith.
You still have Roquan Smith, who's coming back. You have a line. You have good linebackers. Now your secondary is very questionable, very suspect.
You have Toast out there.
Yeah, so I mean, I think really to a point of I know we're not supposed to do this. I think if you go left tackle, quarterback, the rest of the draft has to be on defense.
Yeah.
You need a cornerback. You and a safety like tomorrow.
I think the rookie jitters are out in Jalen. That's Jalen Johnson. They really love him.
I don't know why.
I'm the one who are like, no, man. He gives up
all the big plays.
Right.
He's the opposite of Peanut Tillman. Peanut Tillman came in and was like, Randy Moss who? This guy is like, don't throw it to me. Don't throw it my side. It's like,
say, hey, what's your name? I'm gonna make you a star today.
Yeah. I'm gonna make you a star today. How many touchdowns do you want?
Yeah. But I think the biggest thing with defense is they lost Pagano, who is really a great defensive coordinator, and they went with Sean Desi, whatever. He's 37.
We're gonna be fine.
He's young. I don't know, man. I don't know if the Bears suck at defense. If they do, you are talking about like a Chicago revolt, because there's no way people are going to stay fans. Like, oh, you give a shitty offense, which we've been dealing with since birth. Okay. But now you're taking away our defense. Like, what? Like, you can't do this to us kind of thing. It's like, we're going to go live with dad in Green Bay. I was thinking in Wisconsin.
So I think we're going to be fine. I think he's going to be fine, and I think the players are going to be not fine, but they're going to be better than fine. They're going to be good, possibly, maybe not great, so much. And I'll tell you why. He, what was the name again? The defensive coordinator?
Sean Desai.
Yeah.
He
was coaching with Fangio when Fangio handpicked them, and basically he learned a lot from under Fangio. So they're projecting he's going to be under Fangio's regime. So he's going to take that method and try to roll with it. Of course, it's no different from Nagy. Nagy took something from Reed, tried to put it in, doesn't work. He's still stubborn and he's still doing whatever. I think defense is a little bit different because it's more of a reaction than going on instinct. So Fangio is more of an aggressive defensive coach. Now, this guy, Sean, he's going to be almost identical because we have the talent out there. We have the speed. We have the strength, especially in that front line. So I think we're going to be okay. I think we're going to see a nice amount of sacks. Quinn's going to come around because they used a scheme that didn't fit Quinn. So now they're going to adjust to his strengths instead of his weaknesses, instead of saying, hey, you got to learn this. Like, hey, since you like bulldozing people, let's do it. If you like running around, let's do that. So I think they're going to take all these strengths from everybody, try to put it in a pot and bring out a formula where I think it's going to go great. They're not going to really rely on the defensive secondary because of how weak it is right now. I think they're going to concentrate more on the front seven, front eight, to pressure the quarterback, get the sacks, force those throws. So I think we're going to be okay. I think the defensive front seven/eight, because they might put eight in the box for an extra blitz or throw the kitchen sink at them at the quarterback. We're going to be fine. I can't wait to see what he does.
So one day I'm looking him up. He's only in the NFL. He's only been with the Chicago Bears, and he's been a Bear since 2013. He was hired by the Bears as a quality control assistant under Trestman, right? And then he went up to Bears defensive back and linebackers assistant, quality control assistant while he was there. And then assisted with special teams. Then he was retained by Fox and Nagy, obviously.
You're right, of course.
Promoted as safety coaches, you know. And I guess under his coaching, Eddie Jackson was named a pro bowler, as the safety coach. You know, and now he's defensive coordinator. So he's been with the Bears for a while, man. Well,
here's my problem with them. Here's the issue I have with this. It feels like the Bears are being reactionary again. So what happened was when Fangio left, we could have hired Brandon Staley to be our defensive coordinator. We chose not to. Mm-hmm. He then went with Fangio to Denver and became his defensive coordinator. Brandon Staley then also went to the Rams. He was the defensive coordinator of the Rams last year and that great defense. And now he's the head coach for the Chargers, the LA Chargers.
Right.
So the Bears realized they missed out on that opportunity. When you lose a good head coach, a good defensive coordinator, just taking his understudy and bringing him up. So now their reaction is, this year, let's do what we didn't do this year. Right. It's not the same guy. Mm-hmm. It's not the same guy. And I worry that he's not going to be able to do the same thing that Fangio did.
Right.
And that's where they're counting on. And that's but like they're always a step behind. Always say, well, we didn't do it right this time, so let's try it this time.
All right.
That's not how things work. You interview the guy and you figure out your job as the general manager is to figure out who's the right guy for the job. Your job as a head coach to figure out who's the right guy. If you're being reactionary, you're never going to find the right person. You need to have a process and figure out for yourself.
I think he is the right person just for the simple fact since he's been with Trestman back in Trestman era. He's been with the organization since. So therefore, defensive coordinators, other coaches from their specific duties, like them enough to be there that long. So that what does that say? That he's a really good guy, a very good coach. Players probably like/love him because he understands. And I think that's what helped him, and I think that's what helped the Bears say, oh, wait a minute. This guy's been with the organization. We saw him grow. We saw him blossom. So let's give him the shot because we don't want to make the same mistake we did when Fangio left. Let's give him that shot. Remember, Pagano came in. He had a different mindset, but yet he still kept them on the team. Pagano could easily said, you know what, I like this guy instead because I know and I'm familiar with his formula, thought, mindset, and all that great stuff. But he kept him because he saw something. He knew he was good enough. He looked at his track record, looked in the past. I'm like, dude, you're doing great. There's no reason for me to fill this spot.
Yeah, so I got like a great Bears fan. Man, that's my own heart. That's what it's.
You know, that's the only reason why I think we're going to be okay on the defensive side. When Pagano showed up, I was nervous as hell. I really was because I really didn't want Pagano. I wanted, he used to be the Jets coach. His brother's in the league still. Long hair, beard. His brother used to.
I can't remember. Really? I know who you're talking about. Jesus, no way.
Yes,
the guy who liked feet. Well, then he had the feet fetish.
Yeah.
He had a feet fetish?
Yeah, people were making fun of him. He had the feet fetish.
That's funny.
And he did terrible things, and the Saints fired him. I know exactly what you mean.
There was a vacancy, I kind of wanted him because he was a more defensive mind coach than anything else. So I was happy with Pagano.
Rex Ryan.
Yes.
You know how I found him? I typed in NFL coach with foot fetish. Rex Ryan is the first name that popped up. That's how I found him.
That's funny. So anyway, I think besides that,
there's no way.
We know why Fredo wanted him. I understand now. You guys could have
met up at the same foot clubs.
Section 230, C8.
And no, he would not have been a good fit. I did not want him.
But I thought Pagano was better.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I think I'm not saying nothing bad about Pagano. I'm not. I really am not. But I'm saying I think that's why the Bears defense is going to be okay.
I would say I actually do think Pagano was the wrong guy to hire. I think Pagano is too
conservative.
His scheme is not strong enough. You know, because the only thing he knows how to do to get pressure is the blitz. His scheme is not strong enough to get pressure on him anyway.
Right.
You know, when you have talented guys, you scheme it up. You do a lot of twists. You do things that allow your defensive line to utilize their skills. You say, go ahead, bull rush. Do those things. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about the flats. You four, worry about this, what's in front of you.
Right.
And Pagano changed that. And I thought that he's an okay defensive coordinator. He's a guy who's just okay, but you'll never be a great defense under him.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I agree. Yeah.
All right. So we're going a little bit past time. I want to kind of get to the top three at least. So I'm probably going to skip a few, and then we're going to do it. So I'm going to skip to three, but I'm going to
speed run them. You want to keep going up, and we'll just say, there.
Let's say one word answers. Let's do that.
We'll go 10. So number 10, the Colts, Indianapolis Colts.
Good.
Yeah. Number 9, New York Giants.
Bad.
Yeah, don't agree.
They signed Jackson, number 2 cornerback, needed, blah, blah, blah. Number 8, the New England Patriots.
Agree.
Who just found all their money in their mattress and went ham.
Because they don't have Brady anymore. That's why. They're like, oh, wait, he's not with us. We can spend.
And they get Dante Hightower back.
Hightower.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. That's going to be good defense.
I like that. I'm actually kind of mixed. You get a bag of M&Ms and Skittles and mix them up. Let's see what you get. So yeah,
Bill Belichick's a great coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good. Real quick, we got Omar watching us on Facebook. What's up, Omar?
How you doing, man?
So number 7, going back down the list, number 7, the LA Chargers.
Good.
As I said, Brandon Staley.
Good. Yep. So this is just another, like, you know,
head scratcher.
Mine F, just because, well, just because you're used to the team not being good. But Miami Dolphins, number six.
Yeah.
I'll go, that's a top five team. I don't know. Yeah. That's a good team.
Yeah. I have to agree. I think they should be like at least top five.
Yeah. And I think they'll probably go up a few spots after the draft. Number five, Baltimore Ravens, another team like the Bears that are just defensively dominant. Always. Always.
All the time.
So yeah, they're always going to be up there. Same thing with Pittsburgh. Number four is Pittsburgh Steelers.
Ooh,
I they just got that. They're gonna drop.
Yeah. Obviously bad.
Yeah, I feel they're on the decline.
They'll be like, you know, when you talk about other guys that, you know, 10, 11, 12 moving up, I think that Pittsburgh would be falling down. Yeah. I mean, Cleveland's gonna be moving up.
I feel Pittsburgh should win at six. Dolphins should have been top five.
They should have been higher. Yeah. Well, the Steelers are kind of like what's going on in with the Saints, where top team, always in the playoffs, all their guys are getting old, QBs are old, and that theory I have with every decade, there's the top teams that they're on the decline. Offensively, defensively, probably they'll keep them in, but that's going to start to dwindle down.
All right. Exactly. What number was that?
That was number four. So now we're at the top three.
Okay, so I just want to guess. Top three. No, okay. I'm going to guess number three. If I had a guess, I probably want to say the Raiders is somewhere up there.
Okay, what about you, Brian? Who do you think number three is?
Three.
All right.
I have no idea.
So,
okay. I would say that or Bucks.
They got LA Rams. So number three, they got the Rams.
Yeah.
Wow. That is Rams is projected. All the top three teams are really everywhere I've looked so far. They're really flip flop between all top three. Sometimes Rams are number one, number two, number three. So these guys are really gonna fight for those top three ranks, you know. But right now they got this site has LA Rams, as it,
two of them Bucks.
So number two, they have the Washington football team at number two.
I can see that. I think two is high for them. I really do, but
I think Miami is better than them, but I do understand their defense seven is dominant.
Yeah, for sure. Plus, with their coach, they have a coach that we love it here in Chicago, you know, and he was good. He was good in Carolina. Now he's over there in Washington. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then he has like that very hopeful story of surviving cancer, which just really kind of brings everyone around you because you want to do good for him, you know, to like, they're going to be a really dominant team. We'll see what happens with their QB situation since they got that I can't think of the QB that they picked up.
Ryan Fitzpatrick. Fitzmagic.
Yeah, there you go. So number one, both of you guys were saying their names a few times, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which is kind of – Their defense is obviously good, but kind of like Green Bay, their best defensive player is Tom Brady, you know. So yeah. But also,
I feel like this is because they won the Super Bowl. But honestly, they're a good defense. They're not a scary defense. I feel like Miami could be a scary defense. I think Washington could be a scary defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, I think the Rams always are a scary defense. You know, Aaron Donald is so good. You know, when you have the best corner in the league and the best defensive player in the league, come on.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, come on. That's that should be all automatic.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, Barrett signed and Davis is coming back, who's a Pro Bowler, 2-year deal. I mean, they got Sue on the line, who's just a dominant, which also kind of like, I know what Brian was saying earlier, is like with his defense, you need to set that intimidation. And he's been in the league long enough where he's like, he's known to be that dirty player. Right. So he has that level of fear even though he doesn't have to be that player anymore, mm-hmm. but he has that reputation, you know? So, and who else? Don't they have the guy who lost the finger playing fireworks or some shit?
Yeah.
I can't think of his name.
A guy lost a finger?
Yeah. Well, yeah. They blew up the firework in his hand.
Yeah, he lost the finger.
Oh, my God.
I think he lost a pinky or something like that.
No, he lost like three fingers.
He played
for the Giants.
Yeah, he played with the Giants, and then I think he's with the Bucks now, ain't he?
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah. He's really good. Yeah.
Was it a linebacker or a D line?
He's a outside. Yeah. No, he's an outside linebacker or end.
Yeah. So it's either Minter or David.
No,
Levante David, Kevin Minter. Those are two linebackers they signed, re-signed.
No, yeah, so I think he's still on the contract, honestly.
Yeah, he's not, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Okay, cool.
Jason Pierre-Paul. Jason Pierre-Paul.
Oh, wow, JPP. Okay.
Yeah, he's outside linebacker, so yeah.
And no clue. But so, yeah, I really like the Bucks at number one. They re-signed all 22 players, all 22 starters. I think this is the first time in NFL history that has done that. And I said it on Super Bowl. It was Super Bowl the week after. Brady's gonna be like, we got something good here. Let's do it. I called it.
It's definitely a year to year thing right now. They're not playing for the long haul. They're playing let's see what happens next year kind of idea. Yeah. Which is not a bad thing when you have a team like that, you know, both sides of the ball. Yeah. You know, so I mean, everyone's staying, coaches are staying. It's interesting. And yeah, their defense is really good. And you have somebody like Tom Brady who's willing to take less money, you know, which kind of explains he's like, I already got a bunch of money. I want 10 rings, you know. I want two handfuls of rings, you know. Which is just bonkers. Because if he wins again, that has to be a legitimate thought in his head. Do I stay in and try to win two more, you know, and be better than Thanos and have two gauntlets, you know, like two, you know, it was like, I mean, because I mean, seriously, if you win and you win eight, that thought in your head is like, I can probably do two more.
Right.
To make it even 10.
My worry is that he's going to really get hurt. Because at 45 years old, it's just, all it takes is one of these young guys, these young bulls, like they're literally bears. Like they literally are. It's a bear online. You're like, what the fuck is that? It's a literal bear online. And they're gonna hit him and crush his. He's gonna do a Drew Brees, crush all his little ribs. You know, puncture his lung. And he's gonna be coughing up blood. And all it takes is one time. You're 45 years old.
Jesus.
You know, that's just, you can't play in the NFL that. I mean, all it takes is one hit. Ask Brett Favre. Brett Favre says, I can still make all the throws. I just can't get hit anymore.
Well, hey, when you have Warren Sapp knocking you out every freaking week, you know? I mean, I don't blame him.
Yeah. But I don't blame him. But yeah. I mean, I like that the Bucks are number one. That's a spot they rightfully deserve, to be honest with you. Because after what they did at Super Bowl, with the defensive changes, yes, I know their tackles were out, but still, there were times Mahomes had time, but yet he couldn't really go deep because they played the two safety.
I cannot put the Bucks as number one, knowing that the Bears beat them, knowing that all the teams that beat the Buccaneers and their defense scored 50 points on during the season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't think that's a dominant defense. I think they got on a hot streak. And they played a team who didn't have a left or right tackle or their backups. They didn't have the left or right tackle and didn't have their backups. It was third string tackles. And I think it was a perfect storm for them. They had to sweat the game against Washington. You know, so I don't think that team is – I think Brady is a great leader. I think their offense is really good. Their defense is good. I don't think it's a dominant defense. If I'm picking them in my fantasy draft, I'm not. I probably won't even pick them. Honestly, I would rather. I'd rather have Miami. I'd rather have Washington. I'd rather have.
Oh yeah.
I'd rather have four or five teams. I'm not saying they're bad. That's not what I'm saying. But I'd rather have four or five teams before I have to get to the Bucks.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They I don't know if they deserve to be number one, but they probably deserve to be top 10, maybe. You know, they played smart. They played smart football. They didn't play
dominant. I
don't want to say aggressive. Yeah, they didn't play dominant football. They played smart. They and like same thing. They got dealt a very lucky hand with the best QB not being protected. You know, and then you have two. I mean, you have some of the best D line, really good linebackers, and they're just like, oh, all we have to do is just chase them around in the backfield. You know, I mean, come on, almost 500 yards he was running around in the backfield. Of course, yep. Man, you can have any QB. That's not gonna fly. So I mean, and what Patrick Mahomes did, I think even losing showed you how great he is.
Yeah,
you know, he's like, you know, with the throws he was throwing, you know,
he was hitting people in the face with the ball. He was hitting their head. Seriously, where did that ball come from?
He was throwing like a shortstop. He dove sideways and threw it.
I was thinking like NFL Blitz, where he's like mid, like he's completely horizontal and he's still chucking it 40 yards. I mean, come on, man. I mean, that's like NFL Blitz.
In the head and in the ear hole and still not catching it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
it was so impressive.
Yeah. So, I mean, if anything, that just proves how great he really is, but also how important an O-line is, you know, yeah, especially when you're playing against a good defense, because they are good. Don't get me wrong. They're not horrible. They are good, you know, good. But
I think,
yeah, they're not.
They went through Washington without a quarterback. And then what was it? Green Bay and the Saints. I mean, the ghost of Drew Brees.
You
know?
Yeah.
It's just, it was a perfect storm.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they're a good team. I don't know if they're a great team. I feel like it's just a perfect storm for them. And then Kansas City won, but they had no one left. You know, the AFC was a gauntlet. Because yeah. I think the Bills could have won. I mean, there's a lot of teams that could have done that. It was a tough year. And they won, so yeah, give them the congratulations. You won. You know, you get all the credit. Mm-hmm. I just don't think for next year I would put them number one. Knowing the Rams are still coming back.
Yeah.
Knowing that Washington still coming. Knowing that Miami was playing the way they were playing. Like it's hard for me to think that that's number one.
Yeah. I mean, Denver is definitely going to break the top 10. I mean, there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to knock Bucks out of that number one projected. But yeah, man. That's defense. We're obviously going to revisit everything again, post draft. We're gonna do all our offseason breakdowns post draft and see where everyone's standing then. But yeah, man, I think that's it for this week. Yeah. I know we kind of skipped through the top 10, so we might try not to make that same mistake last time. But I felt like the top 20 to 11 was more interesting than the top 10. You know, besides I think the Bucks were the main, because everyone else in the top 10, I think we kind of knew belonged there.
It's good. Right. You know, they're good. Yes, you're right.
But you know, the top 20 was kind of interesting to see where they put it, certain players or certain teams.
So, yes. Do we have one more minute?
Yeah, man.
Can you read 21 on down?
I don't have that with me. I don't think they.
Okay, well that's fine. I was just wondering.
Oh no,
it's so terrible that
he didn't make the list.
We're 21. We're gonna play Alabama. From college, they're gonna put Alabama in there.
That's funny.
Yeah, this list doesn't have. It starts at 20.
Okay.
Starts at 20.
Say the bad ones. You know who you are. Detroit.
Yeah. You don't even deserve to be talking about. I mean, there's teams on there that obviously like Titans. You know, are up there that definitely need some work and stuff like that. Yeah. And we'll see what the Jets do, what Minnesota does.
Yeah. Minnesota might be a sleeper. Yeah.
Possibly, man. Yeah, possibly. So that's why we'll definitely revisit and see what changes post-draft.
Yeah.
Closer to the season and stuff like that. I am 100% going to work on some Rex Ryan Alfredo memes. You know, I'm gonna replace your face with Rex Ryan with a bunch of feet around you. So just so you know, that's coming.
Oh my god.
Oh, that's yeah. The first one.
Yeah. Yeah, Rex Ryan. I mean, honestly, the scandal is kind of what pushed him out of the NFL. I mean, also not doing that great, but that was kind of like the tipping point at that point. We're like, yeah, no one wants to deal with that. So, yeah, any last words before we end the episode,
Brian?
Well, I thought this was really good to talk about the defenses. I mean, yeah. That's going to really help determine. My last 3 years for our fantasy football championships have really been determined by the defenses. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you get a defense that's going to score you 15 points, that's really going to really help you, you know, win your championship. So that can't be ignored.
Right.
Everyone has to remember that.
I agree. There are times that I have two defenses. You know, one's on my bench. Always have two. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I actually do. There are times I got two defenses, and I mean, actually, a lot of times I do that. And it's only because of matchup. I mean, beginning of the game, you get 10 points, and IDP is where it's at, Martin says. I want to try it. Don't get me wrong. I do want to try that.
I played it once. It was hard. It was really hard.
Well, that's what Martin does, and he loves it. IDP, Dynasty. Whew, man, talk about football, man. Yeah, that guy loves his football because that is a lot of football, you know.
You need to know who those players are. You really need to listen to this podcast because it's important.
Yeah, it is. It is.
It is. But yeah, I think that is it for this week. Thank you guys for listening to the Morning Spike. If you like today's episode, hit that like button. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube and Twitch channel. Hit those bell notifications so you don't miss any new episodes and when we go live. We'd love to hear from you.
And the one over there.
Yeah. We'd love to hear from you in our Facebook. Leave some comments over there. Tell us what you think about defenses, offenses, whatever football stuff. You can catch some of our other shows. We have our schedule right here. Sundays, Morning Spike, we're here. Mondays, movie review, where we talk about the new movies of that weekend. Tuesday, the Panda and Grizzly, where they talk all Chicago Bears football. Wednesday, Dynasty Pylon, where Martin talks about IDP and Dynasty style fantasy football. And Thursdays, we have Did We Just Become Best Friends, where we talk about pop culture and whatever's trending in the world. Thank you guys for watching, and we'll see you all next week. Bye.
All right, thanks guys.
Have a good one.